This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, happy frigid Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
It's not frigid for you. You hush.
It's 44 degrees this morning with 20-mile-an-hour winds. It's actually chilly.
I now know why people hated me when I lived in Arizona, because I sounded like you. I'm Jamie Jennings, and I'm in Norman, Oklahoma, and it's currently 17 out, so suck it, Glenn. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 13th, episode 2311, brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
Ooh, and away we go.
On today's show, that's right, it's me today. I'm just going to tell you, we have equestrian first world problems. We are going to talk to Dr. Madison Siemens about something that he's given a talk, you guys, and it's talking about eyeballs related to spooking. That's all I know, and all I know is I can't wait to hear it. So we're going to talk to him about
eyeballs?
That today.
We're talking spooky eyeballs.
All of those things together. And then we're going to do a little weird news, and Glenn, what do you have? He says he's got something that I'll find entertaining.
When he was 10 years old, Larry Singleton hated to go with his mom and dad because they were antiquers. And, you know, like Pickers, the TV show? Well, his mom and dad were pickers. And he'd have to go out to these old dusty barns, and he hated it. Well, he doesn't hate it anymore, because since 1979, he has been in charge of furnishing every single Cracker Barrel in the nation with all of that authentic memorabilia on the walls, the signs and the pictures. You've been to Cracker Barrel, right? They have tons of it on the walls.
Yeah.
I always thought it was all reproductions. It's not. That's all original stuff. There are 650 Cracker Barrels in 45 states with 1,000 antique items per location. And this man and his parents, before they died, were the ones that bought it all. There's one guy.
Gosh, that is crazy. See, I kind of just thought they were fake stuff on the walls, too.
Apparently, Singleton manages the chain's, get this, 26,000 square foot decor warehouse, which houses 90,000 American artifacts, all of them found, cleaned, repaired, barcoded, and organized by him and his staff of four.
Among those
curiosities, of course, are the tools. He's found rustic tools. There's always tools on the wall. 1700s he's found tools from. There's the gas station signs and the family portraits and the china and all of that stuff are stuff he's found just by doing what American pickers do. They just drive around old barns. So apparently how this started is in the late 60s, Danny Evans, a Shell oil distributor, reached out to Kathleen and Don, his parents, to see if they could help decorate a restaurant he was opening off Interstate 40, just over a decade after the U.S. highway system was introduced. Well, his concept was he wanted to open a restaurant that wasn't cookie cutter. He wanted it to cook food right there and it to be home cooking. They were going to hire home cooks. And it would serve, and they started that restaurant, and it was the first Cracker Barrel, and his parents provided the stuff for that Cracker Barrel for the walls and have been doing it ever since. They have outfitted every Cracker Barrel built.
I wish the food was better. I would go there more.
Oh, I love the food at Cracker Barrel. We go there all the time. If you don't eat meat, you shouldn't go to Cracker Barrel.
Exactly. I went, and Abby and I went. We only go there when we go to Rolex, now the Land Rover. And Abby and I went with a ton of people, and we both like grilled cheese. We'll just get the grilled cheese. Nope. Both of us got sick. 90 minutes later, you got to throw everything up because they cook the grilled cheese like, I don't know,
Probably on the same grill they cook the burgers on. Yeah, we used to do that at their diner. Sure.
Yeah, thanks for that. That's fun for all of us. We're both like, I don't feel so good. Do you feel? I was like, dang it. Newman.
I guess you'd have to ask about that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, well, you would think a grilled cheese would not be
cooked on the same grill. I wouldn't think about it even as the cook. I'm telling you,
that's why you can't get the Impossible Burger at a Burger King, because they cook it right.
Jennifer tried one the other day, the Impossible Burger. She said it tasted like burger.
I know, I don't like it.
She said, however, it was really, really thin. She thought, apparently hers was really, she said the bun to burger ratio was not good.
Like because the burgers are so thick at the rest of the store. It's like, it looks like a quarter of a hockey puck.
I guess what do they call it? Not their Big Mac. What do they call theirs? But
Whopper.
The Whopper. And she said, but the Whopper has so much crap on it, you can hardly taste the meat anyway. So I don't think she's going to buy it again, to be honest.
Okay. Well,
but yeah,
I'm
isn't it amazing about this guy? I thought, first of all, I did think they were reproductions, and I thought they must just buy them everywhere. I don't know. Didn't think about one guy. He's probably made a fortune.
That's what he gets for hating on what his parents did.
Good for him. All right, Daily Winnie time. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy, happy birthday to you.
I only have one birthday today, and that's Auditor Sally Teague. Happy birthday to Sally.
I didn't talk about this on Monday, and I just wanted to let everybody know, because I got the new dog. I was like so excited, and she's doing great, by the way. Got a new dog over the weekend. But we also got something else, Glenn. We got two new ducks. Lucas tested for his next belt in karate, so he's now officially the gold belt, okay? Big deal. Wow. It's like his fourth belt in a year.
Is platinum next?
Platinum is next, and then there's frankincense and myrrh. It's crazy. So afterwards, I found a lady that had messaged me. She's like, hey, I saw you posted about a year ago. You were looking for ducks. Do you still need some? And I'm like, sure, I'll take a couple ducks. And so I go out, and we get a black duck and a gray duck. And this is right after Lucas's gold belt in karate. So I swear there's a reason for this. So we go get him. We bring him home, and I'm like, what are you going to name him? And there are two guys that teach the karate lessons, and one is named, it's his place, Conan, and the other one is Ed. And Conan has black hair. Conan, like the barbarian, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was like, you know, in movies with Chuck Norris and stuff. He's like super cool, but it's Conan. It's not his real name, I don't think. But anyway, so Conan has black hair and Ed has gray hair. And those are the people that do all the karate instruction. And so Lucas names the ducks Black Duck and Gray Duck, Conan and Ed, which is fine. But then, of course, you know, I have to rub it in. And so I have to get pictures of Lucas with the ducks and post them on their Facebook pages. Hi, Lucas has ducks, and this is Conan, and this is Ed. So Ed's all mad because I posted on their page. Ed's all mad that he got the gray duck instead of the black duck. And Conan's like, I want to be the gray duck. And these are like karate masters that are arguing over which duck is going to be named after them.
Black belts have the same problems we do.
I mean, they're stars. They're just like us, right? Anyway, Daily Winnie to Conan and Ed, our new ducks.
I think you'll have better luck with them than you did the geese.
They
don't tend to attack people so much. Well, a couple updates here. One thing for auditors I wanted to mention is I'm doing a barnside chat today at 3:00 Eastern Time in the auditor room, Facebook Live, and I'm having Kat from Benefab on. She has an amazing story. She wrote a book about it, and she speaks to groups on starting businesses. So this chat today is all going to be about business in the horse world. So, and I'm sure
you just had an auditor post about wanting to start a new business.
Yep.
So,
well, she already said I'm watching. I saw her post on there that she's going to be watching. Kat's fantastic, and it all starts with her getting dumped and breaking her back. And that's
she's
how this
super
all started.
Impressive, you guys. You'll love this.
Yeah, she's super sweet too. Radiothon update: 5 days left for voicemails, and you told me before the show that some of the auditors and listeners are getting a little anxious now.
You're eliciting anxiety.
Good.
And anxiety attacks.
Good.
Because they say every time you post something, they get a little nervous about it and they get anxiety attacks.
Good.
And that was your response.
That's good. We have 5 days left. I only have about half the number of voicemails that we had last year, so we need a bunch more. So, yes, you have 5 days left. Get anxious and get it done. We have some new guests announced. We announced Cheryl Ladd on Monday. Stacy confirmed Barbara Schulte, who's a professional cutting horse trainer for the Western world. Everybody in the Western world knows who Barbara Schulte is. She'll be coming on Stacy Westfall's hour. And then we're going to have some more announcements. I can't say yet, but we're very excited about. We also had over $1,000 of prizes, actually about $1,500 of prizes added in the last 2 days since you and I talked last. Omega Alpha came through with a $650 package, a digestive health gift basket, and a bonus gallon of Healthy Horse.
Oh, that's the stuff. I've never had it. I've always wanted the Healthy Horse. So
$650 value. Sterling Essentials. You know Sterling, the leather care products?
Yes.
They are giving away 3 sets of Sterling Essentials full-size leather cleaners and leather conditioners, plus one of their sun shirts, a $200 value. Stacy Westfall, a $300 gift basket, a gift certificate from Greenflower Botanicals, who you'll hear from later in the show, and that's for CBD oil, and that's $150. And Redmond Equine came through with another gift pack of over $250. Which
that's a lot of rocks.
Yeah, the UPS guy's going to be pissed. so get your entries in. Go to holidayradiothon.com. The voicemails are due by the end of the day on the 18th. And then the only other way you're going to be able to enter is to call that day. I will say this. We have not announced this yet. We're going back to one guest an hour, one formal guest an hour, to allow more time for us to talk to you guys. What happened last year and the year before is we got backed up on time, and then we didn't have time to get to our callers. This year, we're going to have much more time for callers, and we're going to spend more time with you. All right. I think that's it. Do you have anything else?
Well done. Well done.
All right. So what are we doing next?
It's time. First World Problems. It's time. First world problem is when we don't have a producer, Glenn doesn't actually read the show notes that are in front of him. What's next?
You were supposed to buy me time and cover for me while I was looking for the bumper.
Oh, okay. See, you have to type that to me. I don't know. You're like, hey.
I couldn't type. I was looking for the bumper.
Okay. Well, let's just move on. And remember, if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem because that's the life that we're living right about now. And these are all submitted by real people. These are thoughts that have occurred in these humans' brains. And they felt obliged to share them with you for entertainment value. Caitlin says, and Caitlin, I feel you. I feel you, girl. I got to watch a young teen ride my horse yesterday, and as I took pride in seeing how far my mare has come, I couldn't help but be jealous in how much better she was with the teenager. That's why Thor is now still in Arizona, because I was like, oh my God, he's so much better for her than me, but I love him. I get it. Courtney says, now that the temperatures are dipping below freezing, the barn is shutting off the automatic waterers, and we have to like fill the water buckets by hand. Oh, the humanity.
Winter carrying buckets. Oh, I remember that.
Oh, God, we spent a little extra on the barn, a lot extra. We got heated automatic waterers, and I'm telling you, these Nelsons are the bomb.
Are the pipes actually heated under the? How does that work?
I don't know.
I knew that was going to be the answer.
I know they dug them really, really deep, and it comes up, and there's like a little electric kind of like
tape, like a little
plate,
tape?
Like a little like hot plate underneath it. Oh. And so Nelson waterers are amazing.
That would be nice because carrying water buckets. And then the outside freezes too. So if you have automatic waters outside, you have to carry them out. Oh, it'll run the hose 12 miles.
I have every paddock except for one has access to the automatic waterers in the stalls, right? So great. That's awesome. Except for the one other paddock has those big tubs. And I'm like, you know what? Y'all can drink in the pond. Go. I'm not dealing with that. Julian says, and that's my first world problem. Is like, oh my God, I have to break waters, but you know what? There's a pond. Julian says,
so that freezes over. You see, you break that puffy.
Oh man, y'all are coming in. My husband, Jillian, says, my husband and I spent 9 hours leveling our stalls with gravel and sand and then matting them. Oh my God, Chad and I did this with eight salt burn.
That's not fun.
And now my old mare won't lay down. Beyond.
Some horses won't lay down inside the barn. And you know what I think that is? My personal opinion, no scientific proof, and there hasn't been a study as far as I know. I think they got cast at one point, and you may not have seen it, but I think they got cast against the wall and they're just afraid to lay down.
Oh my God, that's funny, except for the fact that I have horses that get cast 800 times and they just still keep doing.
Some don't learn.
If Zeus lays down right next to the fence again and just lay, like, hello.
Well, he's just trying to kick the fence out. That's what he's
trying to wiggle his way underneath it. The next first world problem comes from Hannah. Hannah wrote a 12 page comment about, like, 800 different first world problems. So I'm just going to say Hannah has a lot of problems and we're going to move past it. Lily has a little bit of a story. You got to stick with me. She says, good morning. I was awoken to the sound, you know, that sound of my dog puking. I immediately tried to jump out of bed so I could find her and like set her on the tile. That dog puking maneuver, they always go over to the carpet as always. But she said, instead, my feet got caught and wrapped up in my favorite fleece blanket. So I basically slingshotted my front half out of bed while my feet held me down. I crashed to the floor. And as I'm laying on the floor, trying to get my breath back and free my arms and legs and listening to my dog finish puking, my dog then trots over to me happily with her puke mouth and furiously licks my face. She said, yes, I'm that girl. And then I cried.
You can picture that whole scene.
Lily, I don't know you, but I love you.
God, there is nothing worse than waking up to that sound.
That sound, and then they see your face.
It wakes you up instantly. I mean, you're instantly awake.
And I never catch him.
No.
We're never quick enough to get him off the carpet.
The one nice thing, our house excluded, because we do have carpets in the bedrooms, but the one nice thing about most Florida houses is all tile. There's no carpets. But if there's a piece of cloth on the ground, they will find it.
You like left your shirt on the floor last night, and they're like,
right in your shirt. Oh, that's just nothing worse. Oh.
Katie says,
I feel for you.
Katie, I custom ordered nylon trophy halters for an event I run, and I also happened to be an award recipient. And so, like, I tried to choose everybody's favorite color, and I ordered myself a tasteful hunter green and black, but I really like the looks of the hot pink and black one and some little girls. She didn't know. Just switch them out. She doesn't need that. She probably, you know what, give her a choice.
She'll be happy to get anything. It'll be fine.
Right?
Yeah, she's
you know what? If you live in a sunny area anyway, it's going to turn like white and brown anyway.
That's right.
Teresa says, girl, I get it. This one too. My mare hates blankets and very rarely gets cold enough to need one. But her winter coat isn't at maximum fuzziness yet. And it dropped to like 15 last night. So I would have felt bad not blanketing her, but she hates it. And so I also felt bad blanketing her. And I just don't know how to please her highness. Let me tell you, Demure, that warm blood that I had, I sold him, and 10 years later he's been returned to me, and I forgot. So he's out in the field, and so I went and put a waterproof sheet on him, and I went back to take off the sheet the next morning, and it was in about 400 pieces. I forgot still. He does not like blankets, and he's been living in Colorado, and I'm like, fine, just deal with it. It's like, you're a jerk. And he ripped up everything. TJ says that I spent all of my money at Equine Affair, and I have to sell my old stuff to help pay for my new stuff.
And your husband's glad you're getting rid of old stuff. That's
exactly.
Just saying. Yeah.
Stephanie says, I really want to go fox hunting because it's like looks like the most fun ever. And I live super close to Big Sky Hounds, which is like an awesome fox hunting club. But I'm a lifelong vegetarian and I can't participate in killing stuff.
Well,
I am a lifelong vegetarian too. And fox hunting, rarely do they kill anything.
Well, check with your hunt. It might be a drag hunt where they don't even chase live things. So
they drag hunt or they chase coyotes and never get
them.
And then when I fox hunted in Ireland, there is a through people's farms, and there is such an overpopulation of the foxes that they're all sick. They all have like mange. Anyway, so actually, what they told me, they're all just sick and dying, and they're transmitting the diseases to one another. And so they really only catch the sick ones anyway. So just do some research. It's so fun. Carrie says,
I think it's been fox hunting all her life. And I think she said twice, have they ever caught anything?
I have fox hunted with probably 8 or 9 different clubs all over the country, and I've never participated in anything actually getting caught.
So it's mostly just running around or standing around. It's one of the two.
It's like, yeah. Gallop, 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 jump something, stop.
For 20
gallop,
minutes.
Gallop, 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 jump something, stop.
While the hounds are trying to not chase rabbits.
Exactly. Yeah. I remember we're actually fox hunting in Ireland. If you go back and you listen to the interview, I was sitting on the horse and I was like, isn't that the fox right there? It's like trotted by. And the master was like, oh my God. Where are the hounds?
Jennifer always liked the drag hunts because they're faster. Stand around. Yeah.
Stop. Yeah. Carrie says, I bought these really cute winter boots at Equine Affair, but they're too cute to get dirty at the barn. So now I need to go get another pair.
All right. I got to get back to the fox hunter lady. Who was it?
The fox hunter one was Stephanie.
Stephanie's going to go and they'll catch 3 that day.
Oh my God. Right.
To prove us wrong, she'll be writing to us. I hate you guys.
Y'all are such jerks. You like ruined my day. But anyway, that was it for First World Problems. So everybody, okay, Thank you for submitting and sharing with us your real things. And I think that the gold star of the day goes to Lily for sharing with us her dog's puke breath licking her on the face. At least she didn't eat poop or something. That's gross.
I don't know, puke is bad. I don't know. That's a toss-up.
So wait till you hear the weird news coming up later today, because my friend, I am going to tell you a story. You want to talk about poop? I'm going to tell you all about it.
Well, in the meantime, though, horselovers.com is continuing to have their Veterans Day sale.
Can I be real with you for a second? Because I did do some shopping and I noticed Jennifer did too.
I saw the credit card charge.
Yeah, I was looking for a 60 blanket, which is tiny. It's like mean length.
That's scooter size.
Okay. Yep. So it's hard to find, and I was having a hard time finding it. And I want the Weatherbeater high neck blanket that I use on all of my horses because of the rain here. And so I wanted one Stanley size. So I found one online, and I'm going to I just tell you, I had an unbelievably bad experience. Like, it took a month to get it. I mean, I had to like send threatening letters. It was
from
a
horse
disaster.
Lovers?
No.
Oh.
That's what I'm saying is I will never. Okay. I can't say the name.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give you the, don't buy from them. Buy from Horse Lovers. So I get the blanket, which by the way, took like a month to get, and it's the wrong blanket. Are you freaking kidding me?
It's the wrong blanket altogether?
It's the wrong blanket. It's the same one, but it's the sheet of the 60 sheet, and it's not the 60 blanket. And I'm like, there is no way I'm being able to send this back. They give me a huge discount because it was like such a disaster, and I'm not sending it back because what I did is I went to Horse Lovers for their Veterans Day sale, and I bought him like a fleece blanket and a 60, just like a fleecy thing. So I'll put it underneath the sheet.
So you end up having to layer because it is hard to find. We ended up getting horsewear because we couldn't find Weatherbeater that were in that size.
Yeah, it was really hard. But I'm so particular on that one. And I finally found one in that size and they sent me the wrong one. So they sent me the sheet. And I'm like, this is not helpful. So I was like, why did I go anywhere else besides horselovers.com? And so on the way now, I did a lot of Veterans Day sales. And then I'm like, oh my God, my little basset hound Bella needs a blanket too. And so she has one. And then I was like, but they're $8.
Bella
right
probably
now.
Has more fat. She doesn't need a blanket.
She is not a fat basset hound yet.
Yeah, well, you can fix that. Yeah. They're now having $20 off every order of $119 or more. And that's going on right now at horselovers.com, along with, don't forget they have the auctions. Or maybe you should forget they have
the
auctions.
Let me tell you, I ended up buying 2 blankets for Bella because they were $8. It's like they were free, Glenn. It's
that's
like
exactly
they were
right. It's
away.
Like they were free. They have right now, I'm looking at the auctions, and have you ever bought anything on the auctions? I bid on a couple of things and I didn't get them. But I've tried bidding on the thing. They have such a variety of stuff on the auctions. It's really hit or miss. You really have to go there and see what they got. But like right now, they have a Weatherbeater fleece exercise sheet for $13, right? That goes off in 51 minutes. The one nice thing they do.
Oh my God, I need that.
Is what's going off next? Next going off is the Silver Leaf Web Reins Long African Walnut in 3/4 inch. And that's going in 31 minutes for $10. They have a show coat going for
$7. $7 for a velvet show, adult show coat? Stop it.
Size 14. And that goes off 41 minutes. It's at $7. They have Gatsby Professional Cowboy Halter. They have all kinds of stuff on here.
And, I'm going to go to the last page because people are going to be listening to me later.
Oh, yeah. You want to. God, they go out 6 days on these auctions. They go out a long time. They have Ovation.
Bellies for a penny. Stop it.
They have size 8 regular tall. Olympia. The Ovation Ladies Olympia Tall Boots are at $36.
An IRH for $37.
And if you want to kill vampires, they have redwood tree stakes for a penny.
Oh, my God.
Horselovers.com. Check it out today.
It's time for the Horses in the Morning Horse Health Report, when our intrepid hosts, together with an unlucky member of the equine veterinary trade, attempt to inform, enlighten, or terrify horse owners everywhere into funding a Kickstarter campaign to mass-produce Kevlar-coated, bubble-wrap-lined equine products.
It's time to bring in our favorite veterinarian here, and he is the official veterinarian of Retired Racehorse Radio. And I would love to talk to him about something that is, I'm really interested in.
Let me stop you there, because if we call him official, he's going to want paid. So let's take that out. And
you give me a title. And then you don't have to pay me.
Oh, I like that. You're the official veterinarian for both shows.
See what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I remember asking Glenn the first time we talked on the phone, you know, did they call me because of my expertise and my brilliance? And he says, well, actually, you're the only one we could get to work for free.
Exactly.
So we got that out there. Okay.
And this is, of course, Dr. Madison Siemens from Cornerstone Equine. Thank you for joining us. You're up in the land of the frozen, up in Idaho. So you are going to give a talk, I believe, about how vision influences behavior. And just that title alone makes me super interested. So the floor is yours, Doctor.
Well, thank you so much. This is something I've been studying for a while now. We get to see the various aspects of equine behavior in our practice on a daily basis. And, you know, the question is, you know, why is the horse afraid of me? I think the question should be, why does he ever quit being afraid of us? You know, I love the term natural horsemanship. I mean, there ain't nothing we can do to these guys that's natural. But if we think about it just a little bit, you know, we're always viewed as predators. And the reason that is the case is because horses are prey animals. And we are viewed as predators because we're smaller than they are. Our eyes are in front of our head, and we smell like bacon or a Big Mac or something. So it just amazes me that we could ever have caught the first one. So I think it's just a testimony to their forgiving nature, and I think that's part of why we like them so much.
Well, that's part of it, too, is you have to work to prove you're not a predator. Even though some of us are vegetarians and don't smell like bacon, we're still considered predators to them.
Exactly. And so one of the things that I find very interesting about working with horses is what I call horseman's mythology. And so that's some stuff that, you know, somebody said this 200 years ago and now it is set in stone. Doesn't necessarily be true. But, you know, people just believe it. So when we think about vision, there's several aspects we have to understand. That the horse's go-to position is always going to be threat assessment. How is he viewing the world so that he can stay alive? Okay, survival of the fittest and all of that. And so threat assessment, you can divide that up into several aspects of horse's vision. And the first one of those things that we have to recognize is the horse's blind spots. And so the horse perceives the world in three images, two monocular images out of one eye on either side, and then one binocular image of the world that he can use as two eyes to triangulate. But there's a blind spot right in front of his face for roughly 4 feet. And so if you're doing something directly in front of a horse, there's a lot of what you're doing that he cannot see. Mm-hmm. So he's just kind of going on trust that you have not all of a sudden turned into a saber-toothed butterfly or a carnivorous grocery bag, you know.
Okay.
So in all of those images are integrated in their brain, which makes for a very interesting set of physiology and anatomy. And it's just amazing how the horse can function at any level, much less at the level at which they do perform for us.
And that so just to show you how amazing they are, the fact that they will perform for us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was made painfully aware of a blind spot many years ago. I was working on a horse outfit on the East Coast, and there was a fairly large dry lot that we fed horses in, but there was not a gate big enough to get a pickup in there. So I had to hand carry bales of hay from the fence or from the truck inside this big dry lot and put it in the feeder. And there was a little bit of a drainage, a little creek like affair running through the center of this dry lot. And so I had to step over it carrying this bale of hay. And I realized this is what we were asking the horse to do at a dead run when we're asking him to jump something. I could not see the creek because I had that bale of hay in front of me. Mm-hmm. I could see way off to the side to the left, way off to the side of the right. I could see the creek as I was approaching it within a few feet. But there was a time when I was completely blind and I had to step over that, counting the steps I knew to be how long it would take for me to get over there without getting my feet wet.
Which, so if you jump horses, that is kind of how they do it, is they pretty much memorize it before they get there.
Absolutely. And then take that another step, turn that bale of hay up on its end, and then walk into a telephone booth. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that a lot of people of our audience are going to miss this because we don't have much in the way of phone booths anymore. But that's what you're asking the horse to do when you're asking him to get in that trailer. There's a whole bunch of that trailer he doesn't see.
Wow.
So you start thinking about this thing. So we think about this. There's threat assessments. There's part of the horseman's mythology is that the right side of the horse's brain is not wired to the left side of his body. You've probably heard that before, and that's why we do fly spray on the left side of the horse for the first time, and then we go over to the right side, and it's as if the horse is saying, "Where did you come from?"
Mm-hmm.
Everything all starts over again. Well, the horse's brain is wired up left to right, and I'll explain that to you in a second. And so the third thing, so we're dealing with threat assessment, we're dealing with handedness, left side, right side, and blind spots, and then we're also dealing with changes in shape. That's how the horse assesses threats. And so a change in shape is going to suggest motion. And so a predator is not any danger at all if he's holding still. So it's only when he starts moving that's when he becomes a danger.
And because I have a Mustang, and we always say, you know, what's the one thing, the hardest thing in the world to find, and that's something a Mustang hasn't already noticed. And it's very true.
Exactly.
With lots of horses. And sometimes when I would be riding out with him, and thoroughbreds too, you see a human walking around, all I'm like, can you please say something? Just, I don't know. Speak so we know you're not a threat. That is interesting that it's when they're moving. I didn't think about that.
It's the motion that's what tends to trigger them. That's why you could take a really good horse, turn into a real worried horse on a windy day, because you're seeing lots and lots and lots of shape changes. The leaves are blowing. Again, those saber-toothed grocery bags are blowing across his field of vision. You got this kind of stuff going on. But at a real basic physiological level, okay, there's no doubt that the horse's left side is wired to the right because of something called a pupillary light reflex. And so that's when you shine a light on one eye, you will get a constriction. And that's because the pupil, the hole in the iris, is actually responding to a lot of light in that area. And so when you get a lot of light in that area, it constricts. Well, it'll happen to the other eye. It's called a direct and consensual pupillary light response. So the horse's brain is wired left to right at a very, very deep primitive level because you get that consensual and direct PLR, which means that, yeah, they are wired up. And the other thing I always find interesting is now don't throw your compass away when you go up to the high country, but I have found that when you get lost, the first time you've ever been on a trail several miles away from the from the trailer, if you will turn around and give the horse his head, he will probably be able to find the trailer in almost a perfectly direct route. So if the left brain is not wired to the right, how does he memorize the left side of the trail when he's seeing it only going in one direction?
Please so tell me, because that is a mystery.
Well, it's because that left side and right side communicate. And so we know that there's going to be a little difference when we go over on the right side to do something. But as you will notice that when you're doing something, fly spray is a great example. When you're doing something on the left side of the horse, and the first time we fly spray them, they get a little worried about that. And there's many of these sensory inputs that are affecting that. However, I think a big part of that thing is there's just the change in the shape that they're seeing as they see us on the left side. And so it may take 4 or 5 minutes to fly spray them on the left, but it only takes 1 or 2 to do it on the right. That's because they've got those images that will communicate left to right in their higher brain centers where all this this image information is stored.
So let's get back to the trail. So I'm 10 miles out, I turn around, I don't know how to get back. Is a horse's memory that good, or is some of this instinctual?
Well, I guess it depends. That's a great question, Glenn. I guess it depends on what you call instinct. And we know... Well, for example, for the longest time, people said foals didn't see very well. Well, I don't agree with that. I think the foal sees just as well at birth as he's going to see at 10 years of age. But he doesn't have images stored in his memory banks. So he doesn't know what a fence is. He doesn't know what a stall door is. We turned some babies loose for the first time. One particular baby had been sick, and he'd been confined to a stall here this past spring. And so there was other foals out in the pasture, and the first thing this foal did, once we got him out of the door, which was a challenge because he didn't know what a door was, the first thing he did was he ran into the fence. Thank God it was a smooth wire fence, and he bounced off and jumped up and started running around again. But you will never see that foal run into that fence again, because now he has that image of a fence stored in memory banks. Once a foal has learned to negotiate the physical challenges of going through a stall door, he will never again have a problem going through that stall door. But that first time, he doesn't have any images stored in his higher brain centers to tell him what a stall door is.
And this, Dr. Siemens, is why training horses without violence is so important, because you want your horse to do, it's like, say you want him to get in the trailer and you walk him up to the trailer and inevitably somebody's going to bring out the whip. You whip them, you're convincing the horse that they were right the whole time. That trailer is terrible. We shouldn't go there because you're going to get whipped. And so forever, exactly, they have this image in their brain of getting whipped while they're standing at the back of the trailer. And you got to work pretty darn hard to get that out of there. You got to replace all those pictures, those bad pictures, with good ones hundreds and hundreds of times before you can get rid of that. That's why it's so important to train horses without violence. But on another note,
exactly.
So we've got the shape changes, which I find fascinating. When you're like, I will be riding my horse and there's a pasture of horses next door, and no big deal until the horses start trotting down the side of the fence or even walking down the side of the fence. My horse that I'm riding, and I ride mostly off the track thoroughbreds here, they all, oh my God, what is that? And so it makes sense that there's changes of shape. Do the horses need to be able to look at that, or should I just be like, let's get back to work. Come on, ignore that. What do you think is the best way to handle that?
There's a couple of ways to approach that. And that's a very, very good analogy. And so you got to remember. So you've got the shape of, say, you're standing on the left side of the horse, but there's some contrast in the background. And so you're standing in one place on one day. And so behind you is a horse trailer and a large tree on the left side. But on the other side is a fence and a hedge and a barn. Well, those images, that those contrasting backgrounds, are totally different images for the horse. So you're moving along a background setting that's changing shape all the time, every time you move. And so I think that's what they're seeing. Now, you got to remember, they're not just visual animals. There are other sensory inputs that are going to affect this. And so a group of horses moving on the left side of him is going to elicit a response because of a lot of visual and olfactory stimuli. They don't smell like carnivores, okay? Mm-hmm. But again, it's that shape change. There's also sort of that mass hysteria that, you know, one horse sticks his tail up in the air, decides to stampede. Your horse is going to want to go with them.
Right.
Because this is, oh, yeah, if you're afraid, I'm afraid. So this spills into a couple of other aspects, and we'll touch a little bit on the trailer loading thing. The horse's light accommodation happens very slowly. And so when you and I walk out of a darkened theater midday, we're blind for just a few seconds. Within about 15 seconds or so, our eyes will accommodate, our pupils will constrict. We're not getting so much light information going back into our retinas, and it's more comfortable for us to be outside. A horse is designed to see in low lighting because that's when the predators are out. And so their accommodation to light happens very, very slowly. In some instances, maybe up to 4 or 5 minutes. So when we ask them to go into a treatment room in a clinic someplace or in a horse trailer or even just a darkened barn or going from a dark barn outside, they are going to be functionally blind for a longer period than we are. Uh-huh. So when we ask them, we're having a trailer loading exercise, the poor horse, he's got blind spots, he's got fear, he's got you being aggravated because you won't get in because you decided to train him to get in the trailer 34 seconds before you have to go to a show. So he's got all this stuff going against him, you know what I mean? And so if we just stop and think a little bit that light intensity accommodation occurs in a much more slow manner because of the nature of the retina, the back of the sensory nerves in the back of the horse's eye, which are designed to see motion in low lighting. So if we start thinking about these things, then we can start to appreciate what the horse is going through. And this spills over just a little bit into some other behaviors that you mentioned about seeing other horses. What I have found when I'm on the ground with a horse, especially with a patient, if the horse shows me some pretty intense interest in something that's going on, I will actually, and I know it sounds kind of weird, but I will actually walk with the horse over to whatever it is he's interested in. And so a horse being a prey animal is looking for a safe spot. And so the beautiful part about this whole relationship that we have, if we can prove to him that we're a safe spot, all of a sudden, and it takes some time, but of a sudden what will happen is when the horse gets worried, he will look to us as a safe spot, not run over the top of us and leave us flat as he's leaving the country because he doesn't see us as safe. He sees us as an impediment to his flight.
You just described training horses. I mean, that's the whole thing, is to get them to trust you and to not worry about the rest of it because I'm your safe spot.
Precisely. So it's not just training, but it's also in working with them. And I only get about 90 seconds to establish myself as a safe spot. So I have learned some things over the recent half a century that will help me to establish that very quickly. And one of the things that I've learned early on was that when one of my patients is showing an intense interest in something that's going on over there someplace, I just walk over there and share it with them.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, their head drops, their eyes soften. So now we go from this adrenaline, cortisol, stress hormone dominated beast that's fixing to leave the country to something that's got more serotonin, more endorphin, more relaxed, drop their head, licking and chewing, eyes softened. I mean, all of these things go with this horse understanding that I'm no longer a predator, but now I'm a partner. Mm. And it doesn't take long to get that type of response if you know how to do it.
Man, that's awesome. That is awesome. Dr. Siemens, we, of course, have run out of time, but this is fascinating and just ties in so well with us just wanting to have a good time riding our horses and just interesting. So thank you very much. You guys can find Dr. Siemens at cornerstoneequine.com. There's one E in between Cornerstone and Equine. And he also has a book, Never Trust a Sneaky Pony and Other Things They Never Taught Me About School. So you can find that on cornerstoneequine.com. Did I get it all?
You did. I'm going to have to start paying you more.
I came up with a solution to the Dr. Siemens problem. He is now the president of veterinary services at Horses in the Morning and Retired Racehorse Radio. Is that good
enough? Dang.
Does it come with dental?
Yeah, we got to float. We can get you floated.
Yeah, yeah, we'll that's that right. No we'll problem. Get you floated.
I can do that myself. I need you guys.
Bye, Dr. C.
I so enjoyed it. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right, we have to take a break here. We're gonna hear, instead of a song today, I thought, all those nervous and uptight listeners who are getting ready to send in their radiothon submissions, I even saw that Rachel is practicing her guitar. But, they can be simpler than that. Just tell us the sneakiest thing your horse ever did, or tell us the funniest thing your horse ever did. It doesn't have to be in song or poem. If you want to do song or poem, it's very entertaining, but you don't have to. So I'm going to play with you right after this commercial from Ovation. Actually 2 years ago entries. This was our voicemail package for the Horses in the Morning Hour from 2 years ago. And this will just get your blood flowing and maybe get some thoughts going in your head of the different kinds of things you can do. And then we're going to come back. We have some weird news, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right, we'll be back.
Got poop involved and Florida, so win-win.
Horse people know that they can count on Ovation's value, quality, and style when it comes to hard-wearing schooling attire, affordable show gear for horse and rider, or top-of-the-line equipment for riders at every level. From breeches to bridle work, saddles to stock ties, helmets to half chaps, Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States, outfitting riders at every level from head to toe. Ask for Ovation brand riding helmets, breeches, and footwear at your local tack store, or go online to ovationriding.com and see the fantastic variety of quality, fashion-forward, affordable products from Ovation. ovationriding.com.
You have reached the Horse Radio Network voicemail line. Please leave your voicemail after the tone.
Happy holidays from horselovers.com. Here's a song to spread a little Yuletide cheer.
On the 12th day of Christmas, my barnmaid showed to me 12 ropers roping,
11 trainers training,
10 hunters jumping,
9 mares be offing,
8 kids a-grooming,
7 stalls need cleaning,
6 foals a-sleeping,
5 snaffle bits, 4 neighing colts,
3 French mares,
2 Cleveland bays,
and a saddle from horselovers.com.
Happy holidays.
Precious Magic Gallop Jennings, the Wild Mustang, had a very bouncy lope, and whenever Jamie asked her, she would buck and say, yeah, nope. All of the other horses listen well to Jamie's ways. Luckily, Mrs. Jennings has leg muscles for days. Then one year round Christmas Eve, Coach Jen came to say, Jamie, please hold on so tight. Don't fall off and eat dirt tonight. Then Precious Magic Gallop Jennings, the Wild Mustang, learned to canter gracefully. Soon she'll be driving carriage and maybe jumping at Grand Prix. Happy Radiothon, everybody.
Hi, Glenn, Jamie, and Jen, and the rest of Horse Radio Network. This is Jacqueline Burke from Maryland. I just wanted to call and say Merry Christmas and wish everybody a happy holidays. You guys have been just a huge rock in my riding life, and since I have my own place now, provide me the barn family that I don't always get anymore. So I just wanted to say thank you.
It's Christmas time and I have found a package on my porch. What could it be? Why, it's a present for my horse. It's a weather beater blanket, just the perfect size, with matching neck and boots. It's a fabulous surprise. It's a weather beater blanket to keep my baby warm and looking really pretty on the farm. It's a weather beater blanket to keep my baby warm and looking really pretty on the farm. Merry Christmas.
This is Auditor Matt from Maryland, and my ultimate horsey Christmas gift would have been last year when my parents got me a 20x20 run-in shed for my new farm.
Hey guys, it's your newest recruit, Jemmy, and I just have to give a big love shout out to my boyfriend, Scooter, for this year's Radiothon. Here we go. Scooter the carriage pony with his big wiggly nose. He was so quick to show me the horsey love I'd never known. I drove all the way to Ocala, looking forward to nothing else. Certainly not Glenn's chili, tasted as bad as it smelled. Then one stormy Friday eve, Irma the hurricane made me hurry along back down south, 'cause she was coming my way, no doubt. So I had to leave my scooter with carrots and a smiley face and a promise to see him for the holidays back at that HRN place. Back at that HRN place. Happy Radiothon, everybody. I love you, Scooter.
Horselovers.com. And now our own Dr. Wendy Ying speaks with Roger from Greenflower Botanicals in a series we call CBD Oil 101.
Today, we're going to do CBD Oil 101. So, Roger, what is CBD oil and how can it benefit us?
First of all, CBD is a cannabinoid that we find in hemp as well as in marijuana plants. And so hemp and marijuana are kind of sister plants. And we extract that out of the hemp plant, and it is one of about 100 different cannabinoids that are found in these plants. And each of these cannabinoids have some type of medicinal benefit. CBD especially carries just a tremendous amount of medicinal benefits. If you're familiar with the medical marijuana movement, CBD is actually the cannabinoid that's responsible for most of the medicinal benefit coming out of the medical marijuana movement. But the difference is it, unlike THC, which is probably the most famous cannabinoid people are familiar with, it does not get you high. It has no intoxicating properties to it. And because we're able to extract it out of hemp, it's federally legal and legal in all states.
And what kind of conditions can we use CBD oil for in both people and animals?
Well, CBD actually can be used for a host of things. Some of the most popular ones are anxiety. It's an anti-inflammatory. It's an analgesic, so it's wonderful for combating pain. It is antioxidant. It's good for nausea and things of that. So very soothing to the stomach. But again, probably the lion's share of people that are purchasing it are coming at it to relieve pain or anxiety in their horses or their animals. For dogs, it's wonderful for separation anxiety, or they get upset with storms, joint issues, stomach issues, things like that. For horses, a lot of people are using it for arena anxiety and helping the animal learn more. So there's really so much that CBD oil can do.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation about CBD oil in weeks to come. So, Roger, how can people find Greenflower and your products?
Very easy. You can go right to the website, which is greenflowerbotanicals.com. All of our products are there, and also we have a special coupon code for our HRN listeners. So once you're at checkout and you see the area for the coupon, just put in HRN, and that'll get you 20% off any of our products.
If you show your horses, please check with your federation on the legal use of CBD oil. All right, so get your Radiothon entries into holidayradiothon.com. You have until the end of the day on Monday. And now it's time. And now it's time.
Okay, I'm here. Okay, hit it again. My mic was off. Sorry. I'm so excited to deliver this news because we are a week or two away from Thanksgiving, Glenn.
Thanksgiving.
And the turkeys. What'd I say?
No, I was just reiterating. Thanksgiving.
The turkeys.
I'm trying to be supportive here.
Start over. Well, start
you know, every time we talk about certain things, especially when you do training tips, I get yelled at for not participating. So today I'm trying to participate. Look what's happening.
Does the news anchor get interrupted by her co-host?
Okay, anchor? I will not be supported from now on.
Start up. That's right, Glenn. We are just a week or two away from Thanksgiving, and the turkeys are fighting back. Now you can talk. I had to get out that line. So, yes, there is a town in New Jersey, ironically, called Tom's River. Tom's River. It's an over 55 community, and the residents are living in fear, Glenn. One person who decided to remain anonymous, because apparently they're afraid of like the turkeys attacking them later. I can't get out of my door, they said. Sometimes I can't get out of my car. They go to attack you. They're pecking at our roofs. They're pecking at our cars. And yeah, so there's like a lot of turkeys, and people are saying, well, you moved into
everything's
like
everything's aggressive in New Jersey.
They have set out some ideas on deterring the wild turkeys, because some people are like, they're really not that bad. Like, y'all are being ridiculous. To deter the wild turkeys, experts have recommended tactics, including making loud noises, opening and closing umbrellas, and blocking reflective
opening
surfaces.
Opening and closing umbrellas. That's funny. I never thought about that.
That'll get your horse away. And there you have it.
Oh, hold on.
It's your cue. All right, I promised it earlier, and I'm going to deliver, and I'm going to deliver you some poo. Yes, that's right. We're going to head from New Jersey. We're going to go all the way to South Africa, because a couple is cashing in on elephant dung. That is right. Elephant, they went on this little like tour safari thing. They live in South Africa, and they went up to a safari. And a wildlife ranger started describing an elephant's digestive process. And she decided, she's like a scientist and her husband is a scientist. And they're like, wow, elephants eat a variety of fruits and flowers and yet digest less than a third of it. So why don't we let the elephants do all the hard work? We'll collect all
the... I don't like where this is going, and I hate to be unsupportive.
All the botanicals from their poo, and they're making infused gin. That's right. They're making booze from poo. They said they described the gin's flavor as...
what?
Lovely, wooded, almost spicy and earthy.
Yeah, earthy. That sounds right.
Yeah, because there's crap in it. It apparently changes subtly with seasons and locations. The droppings are dried and crumbled and then washed, and only the remains
of
their
washed
flowers.
Exactly.
And
what
bark.
Are you? What's left after you wash it?
The remains of the fruits, flowers, leaves, and barks that are already eaten,
yeah, okay,
that are left behind. And apparently the gin is a hit with tourists seeking a unique souvenir and the story.
Okay,
to
I'm
going to
order you a bottle from South Africa, and you can be the first to try it.
Let me tell you.
What this, proof is it, by the way?
One visitor of this South African, these people are so crazy. This is an actual quote in the news story. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I even touched the elephant dung, and being close to the animals are very majestic. So having a piece of them actually feels quite good. An export of the African experience, I would say. To be fair, I'd probably buy some too. I don't know if I'd drink it.
You're trying it first. We're going to do an on-air tasting of elephant dung. What is it?
Elephant dung gin.
Gin. Okay.
Gin.
Yeah.
Hmm. And it's, I would, if it was vodka, I'd drink it. I'm a vodka girl. I'm not a gin girl, though. So, you know, earthy doesn't really work.
I wonder
if
it made him decide on gin and not wine or something else.
Earthy. If anything is described as earthy, that means.
I'm moving on now.
Okay, we're going to go from, we started in New Jersey, and then we went to South Africa, and now we're going to go to Australia. Check this story out, Glenn. Nice neighborhood in Australia, about 200 miles northeast of Melbourne in the state of Victoria, the town in Wandilagong.
Wandili. You just wanted to say that.
I did. apparently, this couple walked outside and there's like a puppy in their backyard. A puppy. in their fenced-in backyard, and it doesn't belong to them. And they realize that the puppy has some lacerations on the top of its back, and they and the veterinarians realize that this puppy was picked up by, like, this is Australia. Things like there's pterodactyls there. It picked up the puppy, an eagle probably, and it was flying over and it dropped the puppy into their backyard. Okay, are you following me here?
Yeah,
a puppy
okay.
fell into their backyard that had been picked up.
A velociraptor dropped a puppy in the backyard.
Yeah, so they take the dog, the puppy, to the vet. They're like, oh my God, we're going to keep this little puppy. He's like so pretty. We're going to take him. It's a dingo. It is not just a dingo, because a lot of dingoes, apparently I've rabbit hole searched this, have been breeding with dogs and they're like part dingo. No, this is 100%. The DNA was tested and it was 100%.
They do look like dogs though.
A new, it's the cutest puppy. Oh my God.
I mean, dingoes look like, are they a kind of dog? What are they exactly?
Well, it's interesting you should ask that, because they're kind of like the wolf of Australia, but they're smaller like a fox. So they're kind of like fox wolves.
We've had a problem with the wolves breeding with dogs here too.
I did like an hour's worth of research trying to find out what a dingo is, and that's what I came up with. So it's like a wolf.
They're kind of cute, actually.
Yeah. Well, this puppy has now been taken to the Australian Dingo Foundation Sanctuary.
Are you allowed to own a dingo?
Apparently it's not a great idea. People do own them, and I kind of knew you were going to ask me all these questions. And they do not recommend owning a dingo if you live in an apartment, because they're wild. You know, it's like having a wolf in your apartment, or a fox wolf, if you will. And so the puppy is taken to the Australian Dingo Foundation Sanctuary, and it is purebred Victorian Highlands Dingo. They have like breeds and stuff. Anyway, it's now going to be a stud dog for the rest of their dingoes.
Mentalfloss.com provided us with 11 wild facts about dingoes.
One, please.
The dingo is not a dog breed, which you've already covered. Two is that they're considered pests, apparently. Like if we had an overpopulation.
Like the turkeys.
The turkeys, right? Like the mafia turkeys in New Jersey. The largest fence in the world was built to keep out dingoes, apparently, in Australia. They built a fence that stretched 8,600 kilometers to keep
Good
out
Lord.
Dingoes.
And we can't get one in Mexico, Trump.
That's right. There are different kinds of dingoes, which you kind of figured out. Apparently, there are different colors, too. Reddish, golden, yellow, and sand colors.
It's like fox wolf colors.
Yeah, yeah. Some people keep them as pets, but again, it's not legal in some places. It's illegal to keep them as pets in some places. Oh, that was the next one. Some dogs have dingo in their ancestry. Well, you talked about that, too. Dingoes have owl-like abilities. Apparently, they can see at night. Huh.
Do you know what dingoes eat? Because I do.
What do they eat?
They'll eat your, I don't know, they'll eat a feral cat. They'll eat a dog.
So they're carnivores.
They'll like breed with dogs. And then they're like hyenas, where they are opportunistic feeders. And they'll eat your trash. And they will also eat fruits and berries. And they'll eat anything. They'll eat your baby. By the way, that was proven to be true. I researched that as well. Are we done with dingoes?
Two more. They have bendy wrists, apparently. I didn't know they have bendy wrists. And they don't bark. Apparently, they'll sneak up on you.
They don't bark, but they do howl more like a wolf. Like a fox wolf.
Like a fox wolf. All right, let's move on from Australia.
We're going to go now. Where else? We're going to end this. Where are we going to go, Glenn? Where's the last story?
Can we do
be?
One without Florida?
No, it's impossible. It is impossible to not visit Florida. And reading the headline, I was like, oh, this is so good. The headline is, a woman in Florida has filed a federal lawsuit in hope of keeping 4 pet chickens, which were prescribed to her to help cope with post-traumatic stress disorder. Wait. So you're telling me you have emotional support chickens. Okay. So that was like, that's crazy. And then I read the story and I kind of felt bad for her. Like, let her keep the chickens. So Her name is Karen Morris, and she lives in Fort Myers, and she claims that the Lee County authorities have violated the Federal Fair Housing Act and ordered her to rehome her chickens. Within 30 days, $280 fine with $25 every day she keeps the chickens. Once the 30-day grace period is up, she has 30 days to get the chickens out of there. And she's like, excuse me, my psychiatrist provided them a letter to acknowledge that an emotional support animal is beneficial to someone with mental health difficulties. That does not mean that the psychiatrist wrote them for you. It just means that people have emotional support in reading that. But she also said, I'm disappointed in the fact that these chickens live in my private home and I paid my mortgage, and how people don't live in my house and they're not affected. So like, why are they making me get rid of the chickens? And she says she calls them her girls, and she gives them the claim of their emotional support animal that her medicine can help.
Say what town again?
Fort Myers, Florida, Glenn.
Most towns in Florida allow chickens.
Apparently, this town, this little neighborhood is, I guess, it's against the anti-chicken, HOA. Huh? But she keeps them in the house. And she says she's lost her husband and her brother and her parents. And she's like, nobody else except for her girls. And I think she should keep them. And I want to write a letter.
I don't want my chickens in my house either, by the way. Just throwing
it started out sounding crazy, and then I realized I'm a crazy chicken person too. So now I own ducks. And by the way, all you people, let me just take a moment to let all of you people know that told me, get guinea hens, they'll eat all your ticks. Those are the dumbest, loudest creatures on the face of this planet. Oh my God, how dare you be? I got six. We have three left because they're so stupid. They literally kill themselves. They're so dumb. We have a dog.
Some chickens are smarter than others.
These are not chickens, Glenn. If you think about it, look how small their heads are.
I know.
their brain has to be the size of like a speck of sand. There will be the dog doors open and they all come out, and the guinea hens are like, oh my God, I can't get out. And they run back and forth on the gate, and all they have to do is like go 2 inches further to the right and they will get in front of the door. This one is amazing. Then they can fly, right? So they fly out, and then they're like, we need to get back in the coop. And they will walk like stall walk like crazy horses in a stall back and forth along the fence, so much so that they've like got a rut dug on the other side of the fence. And all you have to do is walk up and pretend you're going to grab them, and they fly back over. They're like, how the hell did we get here? That's weird. They're so stupid. I have three guinea hens that would love to be rehomed. I don't care how many ticks they eat. They got to go. That's why I got the ducks. They're easy. Anyway, there you go. That's your news of the day.
Thank you very much. You know what? I know you use the Total Saddle Fit Stability Stirrup Leathers, and we're giving a set of those away. We're actually giving a set of those away in the first hour at Radiothon.
In our hour. Yes.
But part of the reason I did that is because you use them.
Oh my gosh, I have a pair on my dressage saddle now because I had to get them because I got them for my jump saddle. And I'm like, I got them for my dressage saddle first, and then I got a new jump saddle. And I was like, oh my God, I totally need them to serve leathers because I bought the saddle and didn't come with them. So of course, like, what are you going to do? You're going to buy yourself something nice. Treat yourself. Get yourself some Total Saddle Fit Stability Stirrup Leathers. You will not, I don't know. Like I've said on this commercial before, it is black magic. Your lower leg will work a lot. It sticks a lot better. And they actually have science behind it because it's a wide body design, and it's designed to bring incredible stability to the rider's leg. And if you don't have your lower leg properly put on the horse, you are going to fall off. So keep that in mind. The wide design makes a smoother transition on the flap, which makes it feel like there's no leathers underneath your leg. It's very thin. They are guaranteed to improve your ride, or Total Saddle Fit will pay the shipping both ways. So you order them, and then you get them, and you're like, meh, I don't like them, which is not going to happen. But you're like, I'm going to send them back, and they'll pay you. You'll give you your money back and pay the shipping. So you're out $0. Visit TotalSaddleFit.com to go check them out and get your pair now. I also have the girth. I love it. The stirrup leather pages, again, it will state free. It says free shipping both ways, but you got to purchase them from Total Saddle Fit to get that guarantee. Anyway, there you go. TotalSaddleFit.com.
Very good. Did you see, we'll end with a happy story today. Did you see that the Queen was out riding again at 93 years old yesterday?
My God, I'd love her.
She's on one of her beautiful fell ponies. They are really cool looking ponies, by the way. Total black ponies. And by the way, her groom, who's been with her for like 40 years, looks about as old as she is. I don't know if you saw the pictures, but he looks like he's up there.
Where can I find this picture?
Oh, everywhere. Just put Queen riding and you'll find it. It's been everywhere. It was also posted on our auditor page just in the last hour. But yeah, she was out riding again yesterday at 93. And apparently when she goes out riding, it's not for 10 minutes. Oh yeah, it's on the auditor page. Just scroll down a little bit. It's not for 10 minutes. She goes out riding for like an hour or two. She's 93.
I mean, you're there. Might as well do it.
That doesn't her groom look as old as she is? I mean, her groom looks, by the way, are they properly dressed? I don't know the last time I've seen somebody riding that isn't in a show in a tie. I haven't seen that in a long time. But
he works in a tie.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably.
Exactly. Unfortunately, when we were at Windsor Castle, when we were at the castle, the horses weren't there. So we couldn't see them at Westminster.
Very sad. Yeah. Hey, before we go, that's awesome. I've got an equestrian or a canine first world problem.
Yeah.
And I just have to share it with you before we go and hit the music, is that I have this new dog and she is 100% potty trained and it's amazing. And
really?
She's so good.
I was going to ask you about that because she had issues, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, she had like mental issues. I can't believe she's perfectly potty trained. It's amazing. However, the first world problem is like, we don't have like a patio. It just, you open the door and it's just grass, you know, it just goes right out
there.
She goes
right outside the door.
Literally 3 feet outside the door. And she poops. And it, cause she's so like attached. She doesn't want to go anywhere. She doesn't want to run away. So she poops directly outside the door. Oh my God. Like I had to tell Chad, I'm like, when you come home, just know. Cause we got the dog and then he left. So he hasn't experienced any of this yet. I'm like, when you come home, please don't wear your brand new work shoes up to the back door.
I swear. I grew up Catholic. So the idea of purgatory, you know what I'm talking about with purgatory. You have like animal purgatory. You get a new animal and in some way they have to punish you immediately.
So, that's not punishing. She's pooping outside. It's just a personal problem. Yeah. She's not pooping far enough outside. Yeah. Out farther.
And especially I can't, if like, you have to get up and go out at night. It's like, and there is nothing worse than stepping in dog poop. There is nothing worse.
That's pretty gross. It's pretty bad.
I'll step in horse poop all day. I'm a horse husband saying that. I will step in horse poop all day. Dog poop,
It's awful. Yeah. So first of all, problem, my dog's potty trained, but she's literally potties are right outside the door. Thank you. That's so sweet. Good job, Bella. I love you. And you can't be like, no, don't poop there because they're pooping outside. I mean, what are you going to do? You can't punish them. Anyway, there you go. That's your show for today.
What did you learn today?
Oh my God. I loved learning about the vision. Thinking about trailer loading a horse. You know what's funny? When I go to trailer load a horse, when we were at Monty's, Miguel, who's one of the certified instructors, he was like, you know what I do? He's like, I just take the horse up and I'll walk it in three small circles outside the trailer in both directions before I load it. And he's like, most of the time they just walk right in. Oh my God, that's because the horse's eyes are adjusting. That is crazy. I did not ever think about that.
Yeah, a lot of the professional trainers that I've seen through the years say turn on the lights in the trailer before you
obviously
load them.
Yeah. I mean, if you have,
but a lot of people don't think about that, you know, that they may not have them, you know, but
yeah, I mean, yeah. I would love to have a trailer lights worked inside it. What's that like? high dollar living right there.
Yeah, so this trailer we have now, because it was brand new when we got its first brand new trailer we've ever bought, and the lights work inside the trailer. And it's like, Jennifer, we have never had a light work inside a trailer before.
I'm going to go to Home Depot and get those little push lights.
The touch lights. There you go.
Pop it in.
There you go.
That's how we're going to roll up in the flyover farms. But
that's Oklahoma style right there.
So that's what I learned. I learned a lot about the horse's eyes. What'd you learn?
I learned that when I drive around my bike around here in Ocala, I'm going to be looking for the fox wolf. I have never seen one in person, and now I'm going to be looking for one.
You keep looking, baby, because maybe someone will drop on your backyard. Otherwise, it's not going to happen.
I also know that tomorrow's Mary Kitzmiller Day. Jennifer and Mary Kitzmiller will be here, and Friday is Really Bad Ads Day, and we're going to be announcing some new prizes on Friday as well. So that's it. That's what I know.
All right, Spay, Neuter, Geld.
We'll see the auditors this afternoon, 3 o'clock, Facebook Live. Dingo. It's a fun name to say, Dingo.
See, we learned a lot about dingoes, too.
Dingo. They have the coolest names for stuff in Australia.
They do.
Australians are cool.
They have, like, Thor, you know. Chris Hemsworth is Australian.
That's right. They're cool. Australians are just cool.